This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is the norm? Throughout history is the barbarians. Just think of it like you have windows on your civilization and they're staring at them. They're looking in and they want in.
What they've done is it really is a cloak for non-enforcement. By telling the American people that our focus is criminals, that literally is an Obama Biden
strategy. It's the only thing they know how to do. Instead of confronting the disaster they helped to create, they attack Kennedy.
You hold your elected politicians accountable if they're getting into bed, you know, with these hyperscalers for agreements that have not been made public.
You know, something I love about history. Everybody knows the saying, history repeats itself. And to some extent, that is true. But there are most definitely things that you can see over and over and over again throughout history at different periods of time, different locations, obviously wildly different cultures, different people involved. But kind of the same thing has taken place over and over and over and over and over again. And one of the things that I've noticed in all the lame, nerdy history books that I have read and the stuff I've watched over time is this. When you have a civilization, a modern civilization, you know, modern, more advanced, better education, better equipment, better, just a more modern civilization. You understand what I mean? There are always barbarian cultures that kind of hover around the outside of that civilization. And, you know, I realize it's happened before that people have wanted to, and in fact have left civilization to go be part of the barbarians. You know, you saw this in the Old West. It would happen very rarely, but it would happen. Someone would leave society and go join the Indians or something like that. It's happened, but that's extremely rare. What is the norm? Throughout history is the barbarians. Just think of it like you have windows on your civilization and they're staring at them. They're looking in and they want in. They don't want to be barbarians. They don't want to wipe their butt with leaves. They don't want to live shorter lives. They want better medical care, but they want in. They want in to that civilization. Now, to be clear, it's not that they want to come in and help that civilization. No. They want to come in and do what they've been raised to do most of the time. They want to come in and pillage the civilization. That is the desire. And again, I want to stress, this is not unique to anything. It's not unique to the modern era. You could go back 1,000 years ago, same thing. 2,000 years ago, same thing. 4,000 years ago, same thing. This is what happens. Modern civilization surrounded by barbarians. The barbarians want in to pillage. Now, here's what happens. As that civilization, you can pick yours, we'll use Rome for an example. As that civilization, Rome, as it gets older and older and older, just the way it goes, it will become more corrupt. People get comfortable. There's a variety of reasons for this. The leaders of that society will become more corrupt. As they become more corrupt and selfish, you know, they lose that patriotism. They will start to realize something. There are patriotic people in the society, and they make life harder for a corrupt official. If you're a politician and you just want to accept bribes and sit on your plantation eating olives, these Roman citizens, such a burden. But you know what? I'm looking out at the window and there's a lot of barbarians staring in, and I bet they'll be pretty okay with whatever I'm doing. I'm going to toss them some bread, give them a little of this, give them a little of that. Is a barbarian who doesn't even care about this civilization? Is he going to stress the fact that I'm stealing from the treasury every day? The barbarian doesn't care. This annoying Roman citizen cares. The barbarian doesn't care at all. That's what's happening in the world today as we speak. If you've looked around, have you seen, by the way, what's happening in Spain? I've never been to Spain. Clearly, I won't ever go now. Spain is gone. In case you're wondering what you're looking at there, Africans by the thousand are flooding into Spain. Allah Akbar, shouting everything you can imagine, of course, looting, pillaging, raping, doing all the things they're doing. Okay, what prompted all this? Well, Spain elected a communist. The communist pretty much immediately announced that he was going to import, I think it was 500,000, maybe a million people from Africa. He just flat out announced it. And he made the announcement. Surprise, surprise. They loaded onto the boats. And now Spain is gone. And people look at something so sick and evil and they ask, how could he do such a thing to Spain? That's his own country. He doesn't care about Spain. He cares about power. He cares about himself. And all the barbarians who just went flooding into Spain, they will keep him in power. They understand who's responsible for giving them all the things they have now. As they rape and loot and murder and put Spain to the torch and do the things barbarians do, they will reward the communists for opening up the borders. Now, the problem is this is not unique to Spain. This is happening in Britain. It's happening in Germany. It's happening in France. It is happening across all the modern civilizations in our society. I should say most modern civilizations in our society. The same thing is happening. You remember when Joe Biden got installed, right? Of course you do remember. Don't think that video we just showed you from Spain is somehow unique. If you had a video of the border for 4 years under Joe Biden, you would see the exact same thing, the exact same thing. And again, the hostile foreign barbarians, they understand exactly who to thank for their newfound pillage options.
I love you, Joe Biden. Thank you for everything, Joe Biden. I'm a good person. I want to be a good person here in the United States.
I love you, Joe Biden. Who do you think he's voting for? We all know he's voting. Probably got an ID from China. We all know he's voting. Who do you think he's voting for? When he gets here and he has 87 kids, who do you think they're going to vote for? And it's been like this in the United States of America for decades. It's all been done for the same reason, by the way. It's all about money and power. What are the results of unending immigration, legal and otherwise? Well, here it is. We let them in. They were staring in that window, and the evil people who run this country let them in. And now that they're here, again, these are barbarians. They're uncivilized animals. Don't think for a second that they're grateful. Don't think for a second that they're sitting down on your couch, eating your Kraft Mac, and saying, hey, Bob, really appreciate the hospitality. Thanks for the chow. I was hungry. That's not how barbarians operate when you let them in. I mean, they're saying this stuff.
An Asian, you know, they work hard. They're always on time at their work. They don't take no days off, you know, no days out. They're always there. And we are. We built America. So I don't know what's going on.
So Minnesotans, I mean, not Minnesotans, Somalis brought more than just built the economy. They didn't just build the economy, but we contribute to the soul of this great state. And I want to remind you that no human is illegal, ever. You are not illegal. Our neighbors are not illegal. And yeah, thank you.
The majority of Americans across the country regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is.
Immigrants have built this country. They're not grateful. They're here to conquer. They are conquering. And, you know, the DSA, the Democrat Socialists of America, they're getting all kinds of pub because they're taking out Democrat after Democrat in primaries now. You almost have to give them credit. They're pretty honest about their thoughts on the matter.
I think it's particularly important, not just for our community in Tigray, but communities of the global South, period, right? There's a certain reckoning that we are going to have with the global world order as it exists today, and the way that it fundamentally will have to shift going forward, right? The responsibility that we have as Americans, the recognition that is going to be required of us, of the exploitative and extractive nature that we play on the global scale and the global stage, is only going to be challenged if we are getting represented by people who understand that on a fundamental level. Right? And that means getting more immigrants into office. That means getting more people who have heritage in the global South into office, because that's where those decisions are made specifically.
They see themselves as conquerors. And on the flip side of this, because we have midterms coming and the poll numbers look ugly, I don't want to go back and let these people be in charge. I don't. Trump's out there making great strides doing stuff like this.
Thank you all for being here as we take action to get illegal alien truck drivers off the American roadways. We're doing a very strong movement, and we have had such support for this, and replace them with proud American veterans. And it's about time.
Amen. We need a lot more of that. Oh, and by the way, we need a lot less of this.
Yes, we're ending the temporary protective status because it's temporary. But that doesn't mean that while you're here under a temporary protective status, you can't try to change your status. You can't, it doesn't mean you can't enroll to try to become an LPR. That doesn't mean you can't go for a family visa. That doesn't mean you have to just stay on TPS status, but you have to make an effort to change. And I can't help you if you can't help yourself. Do you really need immigration reform? Yes, you do. But can we work with the system we have? Yes. We have naturalization ceremonies every single day in the United States that we're in, that is, you know, federal government's open. We have hundreds of thousands of people. In fact, we're real close to 900,000 individuals that have been naturalized in the last 12 months. There's a legal system to go through. If we're looking to grow our economy, then we need to look at making more permanent solutions on this and getting the employers involved in the system. It is America first. We want to take care of Americans first. It's our economy. It's our homeland. But there's a way to utilize labor where we're not having the participation rate we need to, and we can plug those holes.
Does that sound like a guy who knows his job is to keep the barbarians looking through the windows and out of the living room? No, it doesn't. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Mark Morgan knows a little bit about mass deportations. We'll talk to him in a moment. Before we talk to him, let me remind you that America's large corporations, they are sadly all in on letting all the barbarians in, taking American jobs, handing them to foreigners. It's all throughout corporate America. I am so passionate about my wireless provider, Pure Talk, because Pure Talk hires Americans. A Vietnam veteran leads Pure Talk. You'll undoubtedly pay a fraction of the cost of the big guys, same network. And when you get a hold of somebody at Pure Talk, you'll talk to an American who's pleasant and speaks English. We have to seek these companies out now and give them our business. We have to be proactive with this stuff. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Immigrants who are set to lose their legal status here. What is your initial reaction to that?
Well, it's a mistake. It's not good for the United States, and it's not good for the state of Ohio. These are people who have helped Springfield really come back. Springfield has been making a real comeback. The Haitians who are living there and employed there, they came there to work, and they came there because there were jobs that were not being filled by other people.
Why do you feel so strongly about this?
I think history tells us that this country was built with immigrants. My family came here in the 1840s, escaping the famine in Ireland. I think that the president has the opportunity to turn this and to say, look, it's now time, we've got our border sealed, it's now time to have a discussion with the Congress and the American people. Who do we need in this country? Who is in our economic interest to have in this country? I'll give you one statistic. In Ohio, I think 22 or 23% of our physicians are foreign-born.
Who is in our what interests? What did he say? Economic interests to these people. Far too many people were just an economic zone. That's all. Not a country, not a culture, just an economic zone. Joining me now, someone who's forgotten more about this stuff than I'll ever know, Mark Morgan, former head of ICE and CBP. He's now part of the Mass Deportation Coalition. Mark, I don't know what part makes me cringe worse when I hear that we were built by immigrants, just completely selling citizens down the road, or the, well, it's in our economic interest. Well, look at the tax brackets. These people are the biggest treasonous scumbags in the world.
Yeah, the only thing that he didn't highlight well is that it's also a political advantage as well. And let's be honest, for both the left and the right, Jesse, we've got to be fully transparent here. And we could talk for hours about the issue politically on the right that's failing this country right now. But Jesse, you hit it spot on. What we don't talk about, what's not in the dialogue of individuals like this, is that what about our nation's sovereignty? Oh, that little thing. What about the rule of law, a founding principle this country is built on that any civilized nation has to enforce? It's just thrown out the window. We do a political or an economic carve out what's in the best interest for them politically. It is disgusting that we just are not honest with American people about what the issues really are.
How do we get this out of the GOP, Mark? I know what AOC's stance on this stuff is going to be. I know what Chuck Schumer's stance is, and I understand perfectly well. I get that. But every time you turn around, there's a new Republican, usually from the red state, talking like this. I feel like we're making progress getting these people out. Are we?
So that's a tough one, Jesse. First of all, this is what I've been saying for a long time, is that we know, as you said, we know where the Democrats are. We know that they are really driving the crux of the crisis. What we have on the Republican side, though, is we have a lack of political will, a lack of courage to fix it. And so I think it is time that we start looking inward and start being honest about our own conservative party and what they are doing to promote. Look, right now, they're promoting several forms of amnesty right now. But what they are definitely doing is they're getting to the president. They're giving the president some bad advice on the mass deportation aspect of this. At the end of the day, the only way that we're going to regain our sovereignty, the only way we're going to regain the true rule of law, the only way we're going to stop future illegal immigration, the only answer to that is mass deportations.
Okay, Mark, you say mass deportations aren't happening. That leads me to why. Why aren't they happening? Is this a judge's problem? Is it the administration's problem? Is this a Senate problem? Is this a Mark Wayne Mullen problem? What's the problem?
I think it's D, all of the above. But I think we've got two major issues going on right now. And one is from the administration itself. I believe the president is getting bad advice from people, high-ranking individuals within his inner circle that are telling me he's going to turn, you know, red states blue, that if he continues to go after and do work site enforcement. I also think that you've got Republicans, Jesse, as you mentioned, that are wanting to pretend and mislead the American people that mass deportations are already happening. See, look, we've already achieved this. The so-called border is secure. We're conducting mass deportations. So the only thing that's logically left is that, well, for those individuals who are working hard, well, amnesty, right? Let's give them a pathway to citizenship. And so you've got these dualities that are going on. And then the last thing you have is, again, and I think this falls a lot on the Republicans on Capitol Hill, you have huge special interest groups, whether from the ag or service industry, that are pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into Capitol Hill campaigns and other ways to try to influence this administration to back off worksite enforcement. And Jesse, that's exactly what's happening. I'm telling you right now, worksite enforcement is not happening. And if I'm wrong, then I challenge this administration, show me the numbers. Show me the numbers that ICE is aggressively going after employees who are knowingly and willingly hiring illegal aliens. And they're prosecuting those employers and they're removing those illegal aliens. It's not happening.
Mark, how much of a factor is big corporate donors? I mean, I can't put it any other way. The president, vice president, senators, you know as well as I do, they travel out to mountainside mansions and they do fundraisers with billionaires. That's part of life. Everyone gets that. But these guys, when they get out to Wyoming, they're not telling them to deport all the illegals, are they?
No, that's exactly right, Jesse. Look, that's why I like coming on and talk to you, because it's about common sense. And again, if we're going to solve this issue, if we're going to regain our sovereignty, if we're going to regain the enforcement of the rule of law, we've got to be honest about the failings within our own political party, within the conservative circle. And the reality is that big donors, especially, again, the ag industry, the service industry, but it goes to a wider Chamber of Commerce issue. They're pumping hundreds of million dollars into Republican, into conservative campaigns, have an undue influence in the policy that's happening right now. Look, we know for decades, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of those that come to our country illegally are economic migrants, meaning they're looking for work. Yet, Jesse, when it comes to ICE, we're spending 75% of our resources going after about 9% of the illegal alien population. Where is the 81%? We're not doing it. The 1.5 million with final orders, we're not pursuing. The hundreds of thousands of VO oversight, we're not aggressively pursuing. And we're sure as a heck not going after worksite enforcement.
Mark, I wish it was better news, but thank you for giving it to us between the eyes, brother. I appreciate you. Come back. GOP needs CHOP. They just do. The GOP needs testosterone. I mean, our entire society needs it. The GOP just needs it more. You know that we lose 1% a year? Because of the estrogens in the water, we are losing 1% of our testosterone every single year. It's a staggering, staggering number. You need to get some natural herbal supplements from CHOP. A male vitality stack, that's what I take every single day. Natural herbal supplements, not needles and medication. 20% increase in your T levels in just 90 days. You are going to feel like a different person. Ladies, you are not left out. They have female vitality stacks for you. If you just want to feel better, full of pep, ready to go all the time, Chuck is here for you. Go to chuck.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Your job is telling the truth to the American people.
I see my job as telling the truth, and the truth is that there is study after study after study. It's one of the most studied things out there in science.
You're repeating it like a parrot. You're repeating it like a parrot.
So
I've actually read the science. I'm
not debating this with you.
Of course you are.
No, because I'm not debating.
All you know how to do is repeat things that people told you and say, trust the experts. That's what you did during COVID. Now we know that Anthony Fauci, who was the expert, was lying about everything, about masks, about social distancing, about natural immunity, about the transmission from the vaccine, about the source of COVID. He was lying, and you were punishing people for not trusting the experts. And now you're rolling out the experts again.
Yes.
To talk about something that you have no personal knowledge of.
Okay, well, guess what? That is my job. It was a scary time. And people made mistakes. Absolutely.
You were scaring people.
Why are you saying that?
Because that was the job of CNN.
Okay.
Was to
okay,
put the chirons up
okay,
about
stop.
How many people are
we were trying to be.
To get people
we were
to comply.
Listening to the leaders in this country.
It was wonderful. I think I watched that like six times this weekend, just watching that stupid communist get destroyed by RFK Jr. was magnificent. I bet Jen Gilardi was just sitting there cheering. Right along with me, joining me now, the senior policy analyst at Heritage Foundation, Jennifer Gilardi. Jen, that was just, it nourished my Saturday.
It was kind of magnificent. It reminded me, the beginning particularly, Dana Bash reminded me of, remember when you were on the playground and it used to be like, I know you are, but what am I? I know you are. Like, they just have nowhere to go but to these juvenile tactics. Look, the media is trying to cover their butt because they've been complicit in this whole scheme to deceive the American public, whether it was Biden and his mental state or COVID, you name it, they are shills for the Democrat Party and they don't even care. They're trying to pivot from what a weak, cowardly, and dishonest, and extremely narcissistic man Anthony Fauci is, which we saw from his diaries last week, and put the heat on Kennedy. And it's the only thing they know how to do. Instead of confronting the disaster they helped to create, they attack Kennedy. The senators did it in the hearing last week. I saw a Washington Post article that Fauci was back inside a familiar Washington because he was at a cocktail party. I mean, this is who they are. They're these elites and they're shills for the status quo. You saw Dana Bash doing it here. And even today, it was so funny. I saw a headline in the New York Times cooking section. And I will admit, I subscribe to the New York Times for their cooking and for the games, like the Wordle. But the headline reads, 15 cheap vegetarian recipes that don't sacrifice flavor, bean and cheese burritos, broccoli mac and cheese, because you're not made of money. So they, what they're doing here is trying to counter Kennedy's show, his new cooking show, where they're showing you how you can cook on a budget, how you can eat healthy proteins, healthy fish on a budget. So the only thing I can think of is they're preparing people for Mondami's run, state-run grocery stores.
I can't help but agree. And I'm glad you're watching cooking shows. That's part of your job anyway. So let's talk about something else that I greatly enjoyed was how programmed her responses were. There's been studies. There's been a lot of studies. And the reason I love this so much, Jen, is I know you've experienced this because you used to run in these circles. Every communist I've ever debated in my life in person, they are just like these robots. And they have, you know, two or three little points. And there's no depth beyond that, but that's just what they've been told. And they want that to end the conversation. And when it doesn't, they just start short-circuiting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, a cartoon, and they're like, and they you have it right. You know, they don't know the studies. They haven't dug into it. And it shows, you know, because they do, they short circuit, they go to, well, I'm not having this conversation, right? They just shut down, or they resort to emotional kind of character assassination jabs. And that's what they did with, you know, because of the Fauci trials, they had to pivot. So they have to make Kennedy enemy number one of public health right now.
Why not just own it, Jen? We know the facts now. We have the emails. We have the studies about that poison crap people inject. We know things now. We're not just guessing things. If you're Dana Bash or any of these people, why not just come out and say, hey, wished I'd done it differently. Not my finest hour. Wouldn't that help your reputation?
I would think so. That's what people were hoping Fauci would do, but they can't. They can't admit they're wrong. Now, I don't know if this requires some humility on their part, but their whole party is established on a foundation of lies and an inversion, an inversion of truth. And I think that's because you need lies to control people. This is how they control people. I mentioned this last week of when you make people afraid of things, when you make them fearful of everything, when you take away that fear, people can start to kind of, their nervous system establishes, they can do their own research, they can make rational decisions. But when people are reacting out of fear, they will make irrational decisions. They will make game day decisions really quick. They'll have to, whether it's the COVID vaccine or whether it's at the ballot box, right? Oh my gosh, the Nazis are gonna take over. I better vote Democrat. You know, they can't use logic. That's what I really see when you say I kind of ran in these progressive circles. I do. It's like they've stopped using their brain. And I've told people, I've admitted it. It's like I turned off my brain for 15 years when I lived in California. I had to, because that's how you fit in.
What's new with MAHA? What good's happening out there?
What's good? What good is happening? Well, unfortunately, a lot of the time is kind of sucked out of the energy sucked out of the room by kind of making what Kennedy had to do, which is defending the things that we're doing in this administration. But yeah, they're turning the chronic disease around with, I really think the food pyramid, you know, is a big win because we're starting to see people make different choices. We're starting to see, Callie Means put out a tweet that the amount of money being spent on processed food is decreasing and the amount of money being spent on whole foods is increasing. I think obesity rates are down a little bit. I do think people are turning towards home cooked meals, returning to the dinner table. So that's all positive. Better meal standards in schools and in the military, which is huge because, as you know, I think it's about up to 73% of young adults don't qualify for the military because of one or more chronic diseases. The new conversation right now is really turning towards peptides. And do we regulate those? It is a little bit of a wild, wild west out there right now with peptides. There's a lot of confusion, but I always come back to the basics with this stuff. And this is what the administration has sent the messaging on. Eat real food. Another big point of theirs, get outside, get some sunlight, get exercise. You know, what's so funny is that if this administration says the most basic common sense things like those, right, those recommendations, those eat real food, you know, get some vitamin D, touch grass, go for a hike, the left will then tell you, why don't you go hide in a closet and eat Cheetos? Like, that's how deranged they are.
Jen, I want you to give it to me right between the eyes. These okay. peptides. What do you make of these peptides? Because I know a lot of people, they're taking them and they're not fat anymore. What's going on?
Yes, you mentioned probably the biggest one, Ozempic, Wegovy, the GLP-1s are peptides. And they maybe can be used in the toolbox. You know, I haven't dug deep into some of the, I'll be honest, I just don't know a lot about the research, but I'm always concerned when we start tinkering with DNA, when we start tinkering with hormones. I had a piece out in the Daily Signal about this. This is really going to force a conversation within MAHA about the future of health, because this is like, it's just like AI, right? How far does tech go before we maybe start to seem anti-human, before we're just trying to like preserve life as long as possible and avoid death? Like, I want to live well, obviously, but to what extent do we take these? Where are the boundaries? What is human nature? What does it mean to suffer maybe a little bit and sacrifice and make some hard decisions as opposed to pushing the easy button, which is what GLP-1s will do? What are the long-term effects? These are all questions that really have to be mulled over and debated, I think, before we make any rash decisions about just clearing the pathway forward to them.
There's no need to insult Cheetos, by the way. I just want to put that out there. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. The jalapeno ones, dynamite. We'll talk to Jordan Schachtel next.
When President Trump said to me, we will never close down America again, as what happened, in which I couldn't understand how that happened so rapidly. We put out guidelines to slow the spread, and the next thing we know, everything is closed down. Now I know that Dr. Fauci was having private conversations with these governors and mayors to tell them to close the schools and to tell them, while we were trying to figure out how to contain the virus without doing all of that. A long way of saying, you know, you have to follow what your commander in chief is saying to you. That doesn't mean that you change the science. It doesn't mean you change the data, but you figure out a way to execute the plan that they want. So when President Trump on, I think, April 4th said, we'll never do this again to the country, we pivoted to how do we bring testing so that people are aware of their status? No one wants to infect anybody else. But if you get them tests, instead of quarantining people who are exposed, you just only tell the people who are infected to stay home. That is a very different approach. It worked fabulously in universities. It's why we were able to keep them open, and Secretary DeVos was working on keeping K-12 open. There were solutions, but it became very political, and we all have to be aware, because it was a presidential election year, it was really important for blue states to show that they were taking it very seriously, and they overclosed.
Wow. What a reasonable take on COVID. I'm glad we have a freedom fighter like her standing up there saying the brave stuff. Jordan, joining me now, my friend Jordan Schachtel has one of the great Substacks out there called The Dossier. Jordan, man, it feels so good to have freedom lovers like Deborah Birx on our side.
Yeah, the gaslighting makes me want to just smash my head through the drywall in front of me. It's just unbelievable that she's doing this act now. When we, you know, especially both of us and, you know, the viewers of the show know exactly, you know, how bad she was during those very important years.
We do know, and she did not get that lovely pardon that Fauci got on the way out the door. Explain to me why she's not being dragged in front of the Senate to be abused by Josh Hawley.
I'm very curious. I hope that Congress steps up and thinks about it, because, you know, she was a pivotal element of this so-called COVID response team. You know, she was flying around on taxpayer-funded jets going to governors like, you know, Ron DeSantis or Kemp in Georgia or in Texas and demanding that they adhere to her crazy policies and ideas. And I love to know where those ideas came from. And I'd love to see someone like, you know, Rand Paul or Hawley bring her in front of a committee. You know, she doesn't, as you said, she doesn't have pardon protection. And if she's willing to, you know, cut a deal to go against Fauci, or Fauci's willing to cut a deal to go against her, we need some kind of justice here. We're not getting that.
Amen. We do. Jordan, you will still get people today, even some people on our side, because many on our side were complicit. You were not. But we will say things like, well, okay, but the lockdowns may have hurt, but they saved lives. They saved lives. Jordan, what's the reality? What's the data say?
The reality is we had that project in Sweden where they didn't do lockdowns. Unfortunately, you know, because of our government healthcare institutions like the CDC, NIH, that were basically being directed by Fauci, they were telling Americans and their businesses to do all these crazy things. Millions of people ended up out of work. Millions of businesses were destroyed. Tens of millions of lives were destroyed. Some people never recovered. It's a real American tragedy. Lockdowns didn't save anything. You know, if you got the sniffles, you got the sniffles. Lockdowns didn't stop anything. It was just total, you know, top-down destruction imposed by our healthcare bureaucrats, and they have not answered for any of it.
All right, Jordan, I have to ask. I get emails flooding into my show every single day about concerns, very understandable concerns about AI. You have a piece up on your Substack kind of swimming against that, saying it's going to save the economy. What are you talking about?
So if we look at the economy over the past couple of years, really Trump term two, what we find, especially in the NASDAQ and the S&P, is that AI stocks are carrying virtually the entirety of the U.S. economy. And, you know, when you look at the downstream effects here, you have a blue collar renaissance with these infrastructure projects. Plumbers, electricians, construction workers are making a lot of money building these sites and installing this infrastructure. And it's been a huge boom for the blue collar sector, and also for people's, you know, retirement funds. So it's not all bad. I understand the threat very much of monopolistic companies trying to carve out the entirety of the market share in this AI space. But if you look at this, you know, if you look at your, you know, Apple or Android app store, everyone wants these tools. I think they're incredible productivity tools. But I agree with you, we should be hesitant to grant any further power. You know, we have a system of laws here, and we shouldn't grant these AI companies the power to basically rule over us. But I think that a lot of, you know, these politicians are overlooking the AI boom, you know, that this technology has created, and there's so many benefits for the average American here.
What role do we want the government to play? Feds, state, local. I'm like you, a little hesitant to get them involved because, well, it's the government. What role do we want them to play?
I think when you're looking at the construction of this infrastructure, or, you know, when you're managing the water supply, I think there's definitely a partnership that can be had there. I don't like seeing big companies, these hyperscalers, getting massive tax breaks. I don't think that's good for, you know, the longevity of these systems and their relationship with the taxpayers. But I think we have to allow for innovation. We don't want to become, you know, the degrowthers that are on the left. But we also have to recognize that, you know, government can become corrupted by special interests too. So I think that the best play here is a deregulatory approach. You know, you hold your elected politicians accountable. If they're getting into bed, you know, with these hyperscalers for agreements that have not been made public and that haven't been scrutinized, then vote them out. But I think that imposing an additional set of laws and regulations doesn't really help anyone, because we already have laws on the books. And I think we should encourage private enterprise as much as possible.
Jordan, thank you, my man. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
We have Light in the Mood next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And Clay and Buck, my alleged friends, unbeknownst to me, last week on their radio show, they started some draft. They were drafting a team to take on some WNBA players. And it was one of those things where I heard a guy, heard about it from a guy who heard about it from a guy. And so I call him. I left them a voicemail. And here's how it went.
Talked about yesterday how we might have to pull together a right-wing media all-star basketball team. I don't know, Clay, what position. You're probably like a shooting guard, I would say, you know. I like to think of myself maybe as an aspiring point guard, but we discussed that we could fill out these roles. It turns out that other people listening to the show reached out to some of our, you know, we said Ted Cruz. I think he's a good low post player. I think Senator Cruz pulls down a lot of rebounds for us, you know. Jesse Kelly, he's so tall, he can block. We know that. He could block shots. I don't know if he can shoot, but Dave Rubin, turns out they weighed in on this one.
What's up, fellas? It's Jesse. I heard that you guys recruited me, and we now have to play some WNBA players? That's like the Women's Basketball League, right? Well, anyway, I was curious. I heard a lot of those chicks are lesbians. Have you guys ever heard that? Give me a call. Let me know.
I'm glad Jesse's really focused on what matters, Clay, the strategy and the tactics we would use of the basketball game.
I don't know. Jesse versus Brittany Griner. I think she may have a higher testosterone count than Jesse Kelly. I'm not sure. I don't know that I'd love that matchup inside.
Do you think Brittany would she manhandle, if you will, our own Jesse Kelly down in the paint? I'm worried about it.
She may dunk on him all balls in the face style.
I thought it was a good question. That's what I heard. I'll see you tomorrow.
I would thank you for coming to my YouTube channel, but I know how brilliant it is, and I know you love it here. So subscribe and watch. We're going to start really ramping things up and putting some funny stuff, some interesting stuff out there, some collaborations. Either way, my YouTube channel is officially the place to be. So stick around.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.